given. Focus on saving others. Focus on the family. See, in these seven last sayings comes to the point that it appears that Jesus might be getting a little weak, as we all sometimes do. But if you really look at it, it's not weakness, but strength. Mm-hmm. And that's the title of the message this morning. The scripture will be coming from John 19, verses 28 and 29. Amen.
Amen.
John 19, verses 28 and 29. And it reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on his and put it to his mouth. See, when I read that, and as I read that over and over and over again, that a few things came to me that God was leading me to share with you about those two scriptures. That if you look at it, that Jesus in his last days on this earth went through so much. And I'm gonna point out three things here that captured me in this. So the first thing is that as Christians, we would all go through some struggles. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You get that?
Yes, sir.
As Christians, we would all go through some struggles. See, Jesus, who did no wrong, suffered. So who are we not to have struggles? If Jesus has struggles, who are we not to have struggles? See, I don't know if some of you get that or just think about it. Jesus had struggles. See, I really want you to understand what he went through before he got to these words that he spoke, that he said, I thirst.
Come on.
So, first of all, you have to understand what thirst means.
Uh-huh.
See, thirst is a feeling of need or want to drink something. It's a feeling. You get that feeling that you need something to quench what you're feeling.
Right.
You need to drink something. See, but a lot of us, we don't get to that point just by just waking up in the morning. And nor did Jesus, see. So let's look at what brought Jesus to this point of needing something to drink.
Amen.
See, in the middle of the night, he was arrested.
Come on.
Slapped around,
yeah.
Pushed, mocked, crowned with thorns that went into his scalp, beat with cat o' nine tails, which was a leather piece about 30 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
But see, in that leather piece, it was studded with bones. Mm-hmm. It had bones in that leather piece. It had stones in that leather piece. And it had metal in that leather piece. That's 30 inches of all this on that level that he was beaten with. See, and when it made contact with his skin, it ripped his skin. They ripped out his beard. They nailed the nails in his hands and his feet. See, that doesn't do it justice, because that seems like it was just for a moment. That sounds like, okay, he went through this for about 5 minutes. But my Bible tells me that this was about a 12-hour period. Didn't have a moment's rest.
Come on.
Beat, mocked, spit on. Blood and sweat running off his body. See, I tried to think, and I asked you, have you ever been hit while you were whipped? That kind of stings, doesn't it? See, I know. I remember. I was hit once when I was wet. I think it was the only time my mother gave me a whooping. For you young people, she beat me. She thought I said something. She kicked the door in. I was in the bathroom. And next thing I know, all I saw was that leather belt heading toward me, and it hit me. And I cried so bad, because it stung. I cried. But here it is, 40 years later, I still remember that sting. So can you even imagine the pain and the suffering that Jesus was going through for doing absolutely nothing wrong? Nothing. He did nothing wrong. See, he received this because he was about his Father's business. See, when you start this walk along this path, people are going to be people. People talk about you. They falsely accuse you of things. They they put you down. They will put you out. And get a picture. He was taking his beating, and he was up on the cross, and he was taking all this stuff for the same people he was trying to save. The same people who were crying out to him for a blessing was in the crowd spitting on him, mocking him, watching him get beat. The same people. So why would we think anything different of our life? See, I remember back when we started the tithe, and we wanted to be a good steward with our money. And one would think this is a happy time in our life, and it was. We started to obey God's word about tithing, and we were just happy. Then around the corner, people and family came from everywhere and talk about us. That we were too good to do this, or because we didn't give away money, we shared the word with those people about tithing, and what you think, they were like, oh, thank you for the blessing, but no, they said, they talked about us more. Those people who are closest to you wanted to hurt you more. We were hurt by family and friends. I was astonished at how people, I was astonished by how family treated us. I said, Lord have mercy. But as we was going through this, we came to a place that we had peace because we knew one thing that they didn't know. We were following the word of God. See, turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's Matthew 5. Start at verse 10. And it reads, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all things of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice,
yes.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Don't feel like you were alone. I have to remember who all in the room. Don't feel like you are alone in this. You're not the first. You definitely will not be the last. If you look at it like I look at it, if they can talk about Jesus, they can talk about me. See, you have to understand that just because you're struggling with something, that you're not outside the will of God.
Right.
Did you get that? Just because you're struggling with something,
right,
doesn't mean that you're outside the will of God. See, we get into these times and we ask God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I having to deal with my family in this way? Why am I having to deal with coworkers in this way? Why am I having to deal with that person at the store this way? Why do I have to deal with my children this way? Well, he has an answer for you. And it's in Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. Some. Out of them all.
Right.
So if you're on this walk with me, you're going to have some scars. It's going to be some rocks thrown at you. See, I was talking to the pastor about this the other day, and we began to talk about some people who had to even struggle to get to the house of the Lord. So I wasn't familiar, and I said, well, okay, the pastor said that, but let me see if I can find this information. So I did some research, Pastor. So I read about these people in Ethiopia. See, the spirituality of the church followers echoed so loud in this community. And it's a lot of remote communities. See, they talk about this community that they are brimming with devotion. See, if you make it to the church, which is not easy to begin with, and as I did the research, the church is built into this mountain that they had carved out hundreds of years ago, but they decided that it would have been easier just to move the church down the mountain, but they left it there. And if you have an opportunity to get there and you walk in there, you find worship. Leaning against the structures, kissing the rocks, praying quietly, reading religious texts. See, they come early, and this goes to what Pastor said earlier. They come early to get the blessing.
Amen.
Because it's a big deal.
Yes.
This is huge.
Yes.
This is bigger than you. See, every inch of that place is packed with people. So you gotta fight your way in. You gotta be hungry, right? And thirsty. You gotta wanna get there.
Yes.
You man.
Come on now.
People are so happy there with the blessings they are there to get. See, they come without the pastor saying, hey, look. We have a church.
Uh-huh.
They're there already.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend nights and days there at the church.
Yes.
Now, they don't just show up on Sunday morning. They come and they stay a while. They walk for days, even weeks, to get there. Traveling through the rugged mountains, barefoot. See, and don't just think this, you know, this is not just the track stars or the football stars that in great athletic shape that can run 25 miles. See, these are, they talk about them, amongst them are blind men and blind women. A lot of them with disabilities. See, now there is something in this, despite what they have to go through, they are headed to the place where they can get their blessing.
Yeah.
They are really hungry and thirsty for the Lord.
Yes.
See, we have a little rain. Huh?
Come on.
We have a little rain, and it'll keep us from worship.
Mercy.
See, we have someone talk about us on Friday or Saturday, and it'll keep us from coming to church on Sunday. We let our momentary struggles keep us from worship. We let people get between us and our blessing. See, God has something for you each and every service, and that He wants you to get here. He wants you to be hungry. He wants you to fight through. Like, yeah, I woke up and I'm hurting a little bit, but I need to fight through and get to the house of the Lord, because there is something there for me that's going to feed me on the inside, that's going to show eventually on the outside,
yeah,
that I can worship Him in my pain, that when I'm done worshiping Him, I don't feel that pain anymore, because He has a meal for me. See, there's one thing that I know for sure, that we all thirst. And see, we talk about this story in Luke that, you know, even in hell, they thirst. But it's a little too late. See, it's a little too late to wait, to cry out for a quenching of that thirst when you're in hell. The decision, the judgment has been made, so. You do that for yourself. You think about that for yourself. If you want to wait until you inhale and say, "Ooh, Pastor Ron, hey, I see you up there. I'm on fire down here. Can you sprinkle a little water on me?"
Mercy.
Pastor say, "Well, you should have listened on Sunday." Amen. See, in the Bible, in Luke, in Luke 16, I want you to go there. Luke 16. Luke 16. Verse 24. And it reads, "Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame."
Mercy.
It was too late. It's an after action report.
Mercy.
See, if you read chapter 16, this is a rich man that he has some issues. And Lazarus was there trying to, Lazarus home, but Lazarus was faithful. This rich man was eating and crumbs was falling off his table. He wouldn't even share it with Lazarus. But oh, how times turn.
Yes.
Oh, how times can turn. This rich man had plenty of opportunity to cry out to the Lord. He had plenty of ability to cry out to the Lord. But see, when his judgment day came, and he went down instead of up, all of a sudden, he cried out. And what I want you to get out of it is, I'm saying, don't wait too late.
Right, right. Thank you, Jesus.
Not a minute nor a second is promised to you.
Right, thank you.
Don't wait too late.
That's right.
Nobody has to cry out. Amen. Don't wait too late. Second thing I want to share with you is that Jesus understands your pain.
Yeah.
See, I have people in my job all the time, they tell me that I can't understand because I have never been where they are at. But see, Jesus came and took the punishment for us. He took it in a physical form. See, I don't know if you realize that Jesus could have bailed out at any time.
That's right.
When he was before Pontius Pilate, he had an opportunity to get away. But he stood on the word of God. He didn't back down. He stood there as we would want him to stand there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see that vision of him standing there, when people come against you and tell you that why you doing this and why you doing that, do not back down. Stand on the word of God. Be ever present. Don't back up. Don't move. Be grounded in the word of God.
Yes.
Don't move. Don't sway with the wind. See, Jesus in his physical form took this. And in John 19:28, it said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. That is a powerful saying. See, it is a cry for something that is needed. See, if you believe that it was just at that point, if you remember, he was beaten for 12 hours. Some of us can't walk for an hour and not be thirsty. But see, Jesus was in a physical human body. And he took this abuse for 12 hours, and I'm quite sure he thirsted long before that. But he said, knowing that all things were now accomplished, said I thirst. See, this is a point when you're longing for some relief because you have reached the point when your lips are dry and cracking. You have been sweating so much that you have nothing else to sweat. See, some might say that you have reached this point of dehydration. And see, dehydration doesn't occur until when you lose or use more fluids than you take in. And your body doesn't have enough water and other fluids to carry out its normal function. See, this shows that Jesus was suffering in the human form. See, the blood, the flesh stripped from his body, the sweat running off of him, are all functions we know to exist in our human body. We've all sweated at some time. I don't know if you ever got to a point where you reached where you are considered dehydrated. I recall my wife was in pain for days at one point where it hurt her so much that she couldn't walk. She was stooped over. I was so worried about her. I didn't know what to do. Didn't know what was wrong with her. So we finally made it to the hospital. The nurse told her that she was in need of some fluid. She told her she needed to drink more water.
Come on.
She had gotten to a point where she didn't have enough of what her body needed to function the way it was supposed to. But even in that struggle, amen, there was a blessing. Because the nurse was our first lady. And it started a relationship that neither of us ever knew about. See, that was a blessing in our struggle. See, in my life, there are a number of times when I was in need of something that I felt like I couldn't function. I looked for relief, but I couldn't find any. You ever been like that? You ever been to a point where you just wanted to give up? And maybe it's just me. I've been there several times. I've been hit with this or that. I was in pain. I was hurting. I didn't know which way to turn. See, but I remember remember that it was at a point that I got so far down the road, hurting so much and just overwhelmed with struggles. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there recently. But see, something came to me that I said, why am I struggling? Why am I? Lord, I thirst.
Oh, come on now.
See, I know it sounds simple. But this physical being was hurting so bad. Something came to me and said, wait a minute, do you know by his death, he gives us the spiritual water we need?
Yes.
Did you get that? By his death, he gives us the spiritual water we need. Turn to John 7. John 7. John 7 and 37. Amen?
Amen.
And it reads, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Is anybody thirsty in here?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody thirsty in here?
Amen.
Go to Jesus and drink. So, if you are really in need of something, that you told the pastor this morning that you are really hungry and thirsty. You made that statement this morning that you are really hungry and thirsty. Have you went to the living water? Have you went to the living water? In John 16:33, it reads that these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Lastly, let's look at the showing of strength in Jesus' weakness. Jesus, in the moment when he cried out that he thirsted, was drained in his human existence. He had taken a beating, been tortured for about 12 hours. See, the scripture says that after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. See, the scripture here says that after Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished, not before, not during, but after, so Jesus was so focused on his mission to save you and I that he waited until all was accomplished before he showed any signs of needing something for himself.
Yes. Yes.
See, many see this as a time of weakness, but it's a true sign of strength that Jesus has. See, he endured all of this for us, to save us, to be an example, a standard for us, that you shouldn't be giving up, you shouldn't be giving in at the first sign of trouble.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We see a little trouble headed our way, we run. We take a little struggle, a little pain, we bow down. He stood and took the punishment for 12 hours. He gave all that he had, and then a little more. See, we hear that God has a plan for us, but we get so lost in this flesh, we let others, we let friends, we let family, we let others tell us we can't. See, God has a mission for each and every one. I don't know what your mission is, but God has put it on your heart, and you're not willing to share, you're not willing to step forward and do those things that God has asked you to do because you're afraid of what somebody might say about you. You're afraid that somebody might shun you. You're afraid that somebody might talk about you. But see, God has something for you. See, Pastor says all the time that we allow ourselves to get in our own way. Move yourself out of the way, get in line, and complete your mission, because God has a mission for each and every one of
us.
See, I'm asking you to stop letting doubt and fear creep into your mind and your thought, and start remembering the promises of God. He is the living water, that as you go on through these struggles, go to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying that he's going to stop the struggle, but he'll give you peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
See, in this very last hour that Jesus is surely facing death,
yes,
he continued to work his ministry.
Yes.
He didn't say, well, I have to stop right now, Father. He turned and saved another soul. He didn't say, Father, not right now, I'm in pain. He said, forgive me.
Yes.
See, he didn't give up on his mission because he wanted to save you and I for eternity if we would just drink the water.
Yes.
He could have bailed out at any time, saved himself.
Yes.
But that's not what the Father asked him. He stayed the course. He stayed.
Yes.
I talked to Pastor in the last few months that things and ways of things that have been coming at me and my family, me and my wife, ways and ways of things that I came to a point that said, something came to me and said, stay focused.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Stay focused.
Yes. Yes.
You see, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might,
yes,
he increases strength. That's from Isaiah 40 and 21. See, you have to know that you can find strength,
mm-hmm,
at this well.
Thank you, Jesus.
So for those of you that have been beaten down, hurt, talked about, just sick and tired, I ask that you look to the cross,
yes,
and remember that you got access to the living water.
Yes.
That if you thirst, you can drink of the living water. See, I'll end with this, that Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.